भज हरे मन श्रीनंद नंदन अभय चरण रविंद रे भज हरे मन श्रीनंद नंदन अभय चरण रविंद रे दुर्लभ मानव जन्म सत्संगे दुर्लभ मानव जन्म सत्संगे तरह ए भव सिंधुरे तरह ए भव सिंधुरे शीत आतप बात बरीशन ए दिन जामिनी जागिरे शीत आतप बात बरीशन ए दिन जामिनी जागिरे विफल सेवन कृपण दुर्जन विफल से दिन कृपण दुर्जन चपल सुखल लागिरे चपल सुखल लागिरे ए धन यौवन पुत्र परिजन इथे की आछे परतीति रे ए धन यौवन पुत्र परिजन इथ किया छे परतीति रे कमल दल जल जीवन तल मल कमल दल जल जीवन टल मल भजहु हरि पद नीति रे भजहु हरि पद नीति रे श्रवण कीर्तन स्मरण वंदन पाद सेवन दास्य रे ಶ್ರವಣ ಕೀರ್ತನ ಸ್ಮರಣ ವಂದನ ಪಾದ ಸೇವನ ದಾಸ್ಯರೇ ಪೂಜನ ಸಖಿ ಜನ ಆತ್ಮನಿವೇದನ ಪೂಜನ ಸಖಿ ಜನ ಆತ್ಮನಿವೇದನ ಗೋವಿಂದ ದಾಸ ಅಭಿಲಾಷರೇ ಗೋವಿಂದ ದಾಸ ಅಭಿಲಾಷರೇ ಭಜಹು ರೇ ಮನ ಶ್ರೀನಂದ ನಂದನ ಅಭಯ ಚರಣ ರವಿಂದರೇ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಹ Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Shyam Sundar Radhe. Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya जय नृसिंह देव नृसिंह देव नृसिंह देव जय नृसिंह देव जय प्रह्लाद महाराज प्रह्लाद महाराज प्रह्लाद महाराज जय प्रह्लाद महाराज जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद नित्य गौरा हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्य गौरा हरि बोल
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तर सतहिस् डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर की जय श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय श्री नरसिंह देव भगवान की जय भक्तराज प्रहलाद महाराज की जय श्री नरसिंह चतुर्दशी महोत्सव की जय Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्री गुरुः श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्री गुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादां सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमो ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्री गुरुं दीनतारिणं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा यस्टरडे We were discussing in the beginning how Lord Shiva in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita declares Prahlad Maharaj to be dearer to the Supreme Lord than even the eternal associates of Vaikuntha, even Lakshmi Devi, what then to speak of the demigods of this material world. While Lord Shiva is giving credit for this to the connection that Bali Maharaj has to Prahlad Maharaj, similarly with Banasur, One should of course keep in mind that Bali Maharaj is also a pure devotee. He is also a Mahajan. Likewise, when we see Narad Muni glorifying Prahlad Maharaj, although Narad Muni is the spiritual master, we should understand the glorious position of Narad Muni as well. So, when Lord Shiva is glorifying Prahlad Maharaj in this way, we should not see the other great Mahajans and the great devotees of the Lord in a poor light. The idea is to glorify Prahlad in order to point out his super excellence, to establish the wonderful qualities which mark out Prahlad for being so exceptional. Lord Shiva has been saying so many things about Prahlad. Now, when it comes to Prahlad's qualities, there are many, many verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam through which we can understand how great Prahlad was. In the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which contains the description of the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Narsingadev, we find a series of verses in the fourth chapter which glorify Prahlad's qualities. So these are texts 30 to 42. Can someone please distribute? At the back also someone can give. These are very nice verses in which Narad Muni, speaking to Yudhishthir Maharaj, is glorifying the very nice qualities of Prahlad. So while the sheets are being distributed, we'll just recapitulate yesterday's talk further. We also talked about how Narad Muni went to Sutala Loka at the instructions of Lord Shiva. He found Prahlad Maharaj there. He tried to offer his respects and to embrace, but Prahlad insisted on giving him a respectable seat. Narad Muni went on glorifying Prahlad Maharaj as one who has conquered the Lord. And Narad Muni was ecstatic to remember how the devotees of the Lord, like Prahlad, actually conquer the Lord by their devotion. The Lord, of course, cannot be conquered by any other way but devotion. Prahlad, of course, taking a humble position, minimizes his own qualities, his own status, and tries to rationalize and explain away the good fortune that he has received at the hands of Lord Narsingadev. So now, let us try to analyze a little bit these wonderful qualities of Prahlad. What we will do is, because there are almost 13 verses, 12 or 13 verses, so we'll chant responsibly as we usually do, as I chant the verse, and then after that only one devotee chants the verse after that, so that we save time. So now we're in text 30 of canto 7, chapter 4.
Tasya daityapateh putras चत्वारः परमाद्भुताः प्रह्लादो भूम्महांस्तेषां गुणैर्महदुपासकः.
One person please, one devotee.
तस्य दैत्यपतेः पुत्रास् प्ररादो भून्महांस्तेषाम् गुणैर्महदुपासकः तस्य दैत्यपतेः पुत्रास् चत्वारः परमाद्भुताः प्ररादो भून्महांस्तेषाम् Guner Mahadupasakaha.
Srila Prabhupada's translation. Hiranyakashipu had four wonderful, well-qualified sons, of whom the one named Prahlad was the best. Indeed, Prahlad was a reservoir of all transcendental qualities because he was an unalloyed devotee of Godhead. So, Prahlad had other brothers. There were four sons. And actually, Hiranyakashipu also had a daughter. I don't remember her name. But he had a daughter and four sons. And Prahlad was the best amongst these sons who were quite qualified. Chatvaraha means four. Paramadbhutaha means they were very qualified and wonderful. And Tesham, amongst them, Mahams, Prahlado Bhun Mahamstesham. So Prahlad was the best amongst the four siblings, the four brothers. Why was he the best? Gunair. Because he was endowed with all transcendental qualities. Why was he endowed with all transcendental qualities? Mahat Upasakaha. Because he was such a great devotee of the Lord. In other words, anyone who becomes a devotee of the Lord gradually develops good qualities. And ultimately, when one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, all the good qualities possible develop within that person. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchina sarvair gunaistatra samasate suraha harav abhaktasya kuto mahatguna manorathe nasati dhavato bahi. It is explained that for one who has actually surrendered completely without any material motives to the Supreme Lord, he is akinchana. Akinchana means one who has no separate plans other than the plan of the Lord. One who has no material desires is akinchana. Yasya asti bhakti bhagavati akinchana. So one who is an akinchana devotee of the Lord, sarvair gunais tatra samasate suraha. All the good qualities reside in him. Now Srila Jiva Goswami, in commenting on this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, has explained that it's not just that the good qualities of the demigods come in such a person. These qualities are certainly there, but the pure devotee has many more qualities than what even the demigods have. Srila Jiva Goswami's logic is that if a pure devotee of Lord Krishna were to have only the good qualities that are there in the demigods, these qualities are achieved even by the worshippers of the demigods. So then how are the worshippers of the demigods different from the devotees of the Supreme Lord? So Jiva Goswami argues that the word surah here implies not just the demigods, but it implies the Supreme Lord and his associates and also their qualities. So therefore, sarvair gunais tatra samasate suraha, according to Jiva Goswami, means that once a pure devotee has surrendered completely to Krishna, all these qualities that are there in the Lord, in the demigods and the Lord's associates come in His command. And not only these qualities, but the Lord Himself also comes under the command of the devotee. Such is the power of the wonderful qualities that the pure devotees develop, that not only does this devotee develop all these qualities that are there in the Lord and the devotee and the associates of the Lord, but even the Lord Himself comes under the devotee's control. These are the nice qualities that attract Krishna. The highest quality is bhakti. Srila Rupa Goswami has explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that devotional service, pure devotional service, has many, many symptoms. But he outlined six of them. And the last one is Shri Krishna Akarshani. That bhakti alone has the power to attract Lord Krishna. Nothing else can attract Krishna. Not wealth, not physical beauty, not intelligence, not power and prestige. Nothing of this sort. It's only pure devotion. So bhakti automatically brings about so many wonderful qualities in the person of the devotee that Krishna is captured. So Prahlad Maharaj also was fully endowed with all such divine, transcendental qualities. Chanakya Pandit has also said in his Niti Shastra, Ekopi gunavan putra nirgunena shatena kim ekas chandrastamo hanti nacha tara sahasrashaha. This is from Niti Shastra of Chanakya Pandit. We have heard this before because Srila Prabhupada used this sutra or used this aphorism of or proverb of Chanakya quite often. Ekopi putra gunavan nirgunena shatena kim. It is better to have one son who is endowed with good qualities, who is gunavan, rather than have many sons. Shatena means hundreds of sons who are nirguna, who are without any qualities. In other words, they don't have any spiritual qualities. So, ekopi gunena putra nirgunena shatena kim. Therefore, in the same way, etas chandras tamohanti nacha tara sahasrashaha. Similarly, it's better to have one moon rather than taraha sahasrashaha, thousands of stars. We see that on a no moon night, on the night of Amavasya, the sky is starry. But then there is not so much illumination. But on the full moon night, when the moon is shining brightly, it illuminates the night even. And the moon also makes everything look cooling and beautiful. So it's better to have one moon, Srila Prabhupada explained, than a thousand stars. Just as it is better to have one qualified sun who is endowed with good qualities than to have hundreds of sons who are useless. Better to have five Pandavas than 100 Kauravas. Right? So Dhritarashtra had 100 sons. But of what avail? What kind of sons were they? They all followed in the footsteps of the eldest one, Duryodhana. Vidura always called him Suyodhana. Whereas the Pandavas had only five, but were only five, but they were all virtuous, endowed with wonderful qualities. So when Chanakya says, Ekopi Gunavan Putraha, we must know that becoming Gunavan or endowed with good qualities, transcendental qualities, is the desirable thing. Unfortunately, nowadays people don't want to be Gunavan, they want to be Dhanavan only. Dhanavan means being endowed with wealth or money. As Prahlad has said elsewhere, money is honey. So everybody in this world is mad after this honey called money. And they think that to become wealthy is the perfection of life, is the success of life. Somehow or other acquire money and then everything will be fine, because everything can be purchased with money. Name, fame, prestige, enjoyment, everything. But money can purchase one thing which the possessor doesn't bargain for, and that is misery. And money cannot buy good qualities. That's not available in the marketplace. That has to be cultivated by good association. So therefore, one should be learned and devoted. Srila Prabhupada paraphrases this example many times to say that what is the use of a son who is neither a devotee nor is learned? Of course, one cannot be a devotee without being learned, because Prahlad has said that devotional service is the topmost learning. So therefore, in this verse, we are hearing of Prahlad's good qualities. Even though sometimes we look at the moon and we may see the fault in the moon, that the moon is pockmarked or there's a black spot on the moon, but that doesn't detract from the good qualities or the beauty of the moon. In the same way, from a material point of view, it may seem that some devotees have some disqualifications, but that should not detract from that devotee's wonderful qualities. The primary quality being that this person is a devotee of Lord Krishna. So from the point of view of Hiranyakashipu and his associates, as it emerged later on, Prahlad was a dangerous element, because he was not faithful to the asuras, and he refused to learn properly and implement all the laws of politics and diplomacy and economics and everything which his teachers wanted to teach him. And Prahlad had no interest in these things. Prahlad was only interested in devotional service. So here Narad Muni has explained that Prahlad, being a great devotee of the Lord, was full of all these divine qualities. In the next two verses, 31 and 32, he's talking about some of the qualities, the other qualities that Prahlad had as a result of being a devotee. In other words, we should also try to emulate Prahlad Maharaj and develop these qualities. Someone may say, well, since the Shastra says that all wonderful qualities develop simply by doing bhakti, so I don't have to make any effort. Even if I have any bad qualities in me, I don't need to work to rectify the bad qualities, because everything will be rectified automatically by simply doing bhakti anyway. Yes, that is true. But if one is a sincere devotee, one will try to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans, of the great devotees like Prahlad, and try to emulate, not imitate, but try to follow in the footsteps of these great souls.
Brahmanyah Shila Sampannah Satya Sandho Jitendriyah Atmavat Sarva Bhutanam Eka Priya Suhrittamah Dasavat Sannatariyangrihi Pitrivaddina Vatsalaha Bhratrivat Sadrishe Snigdho Guru Shvishvara Bhavanaha Vidyartha Rupa Janmadhyo Manastambha Vivarjitaha.
Srila Prabhupada's translation. The qualities of Maharaj Prahlad, the son of Hiranyakashipu, are described herewith. He was completely cultured as a qualified Brahmana. having a very good character and being determined to understand the absolute truth. He had full control of his senses and was the best friend of everyone. To respectable persons, he acted exactly like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. To his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother. And he considered his teachers, spiritual masters, and older godbrothers to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was completely free from unnatural pride that might have arisen from his good education, riches, beauty, aristocracy, and so on. So when we see so many qualities, we wonder whether it's really possible for us. So these qualities are not meant to discourage us, but rather to encourage us. Sometimes when we see all the wonderful things that we are supposed to be, then we think that's really a difficult path. But by simply following the process, one must have faith that these qualities will come. Brahmanyaha Shila Sampannaha. He was cultured as a Brahman and was endowed with all good qualities. Shila Sampannaha. Satya Sandho. He was determined to understand the absolute truth. Jitendriyaha. He had conquered his senses. Atmavat Sarva Bhutanam. Here Atmavat indicates the super soul. So just as the super soul is present in the heart of every living entity, even in the heart of a lowly hog or an insect, and also in the heart of a demigod, similarly, a pure devotee of the Lord, like Prahlad Maharaj, doesn't discriminate. This is a friend, this is an enemy. The pure devotee of the Lord is kind to everyone. Eka Priya Suhrit Tamaha. And therefore, he is everyone's well-wisher, the well-wishing friend of everyone. When Srila Prabhupada used to write letters to his disciples, he would sign off at the end by saying, "Your ever well-wisher." It's only the Supreme Lord and his pure devotee who can be our well-wishers. Titiksha karunika suhrida sarvadehinam ajata shatravasanta sadhava sadhubhushana. So the qualities of a real sadhu are mentioned here in this verse, in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Titikshava, he is very tolerant. Karunika, he is very merciful. Suhridaha, he is a well-wishing friend of everyone. Sarvadehinam, not just of his family members or members of his community and so on. He is a well-wisher of all living entities. Ajatashatru. Ajatashatrava means that he doesn't have any enemies. Others may consider him his enemy, and that's rare, but even then he doesn't consider anyone his enemy. Yudhishthir Maharaj, for example, was called Ajatashatru. Now, we all know that the Pandavas had many enemies. At least 100 of them were living in the same house. But he didn't consider them enemies. And therefore, because of his saintly nature, he was always rebuked sometimes in anger by Draupadi Devi and Bhima and sometimes Arjuna, that we have lost a kingdom and you are not doing anything about it. And Yudhishthir Maharaj was loath or did not want to violate the laws of dharma. He said, whatever happens by the will, Lord's will is fine. He never developed envy towards or hatred towards Duryodhan and his brothers. So this is actually such a wonderful thing. It's very rare to see in this world. In this world, people like to beautify themselves by wearing expensive clothes, all kinds of jewelry and cosmetics, perfumes and various kinds of other things. A whole multi-billion dollar industry exists in this world simply to pander to the vanity of people who want to look more beautiful to others. But according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, real beauty lies not in simply decorating this body, which is simply a lump of flesh of dead matter, but real beauty lies in developing transcendental qualities. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also instructed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the real beauty of a devotee, or the ornament of a devotee, is his Vaishnava etiquette, is his behavior, is his qualities. So the way we behave, the way we deal with people, the way we live, all these qualities that we exhibit in our life are our ornaments. So this is really what we must try to cultivate. This is the only kind of beauty that attracts the Supreme Lord. The Lord Himself is the most beautiful personality in creation. And He is never attracted by the material energy. He is attracted only by the spiritual energy, the personified bliss potency, the spiritual energy of the Lord is Srimati Radharani, who is Madan Mohini. Krishna is Madan Mohan, who bewilders everybody's mind, because especially Madan or Cupid. Cupid is the one who bewilders everybody's mind, and Krishna bewilders Cupid's mind, and Radharani bewilders Krishna's mind, because she is the personification of Krishna's internal spiritual energy. But the material energy, that never attracts Krishna. So no matter how we may dress ourselves before we go, when we go before the deity, it doesn't matter. Krishna is going to look right into our heart, and He is going to see all the qualities that we have, our thoughts, our attitudes, our behavior, and so on. So that is the real beauty which will affect or attract Krishna. Dasavat sannata arya angrihi. Again, indications of how one should behave in life. One should be obedient to elders or to the ones who are cultured, of great persons. Srila Prabhupada explains that the word arya refers to people who are greatly cultured or who have great knowledge. Today, unfortunately, the word arya has got a wrong connotation. There is a certain society of people who call themselves arya, but they are atheists because they don't believe that the deity is a form of the Lord. They don't believe that the Lord has a form. So Prabhupada explains that not that kind of arya, but one must become a menial servant to the great devotees of the Lord. And this is the quality Prahlad had. Pitrivat dinavat salaha. He was like a father to the helpless. Bhratrivat sadrishe snigdho. He was like an affectionate brother to those who were equal. Gurushu Ishwara Bhavanaha. To those who are superior, he had a spirit of reverence. Narad Muni also explains in the same canto, when he's talking about ideal behavior, that it is a tendency of people in this world that when they encounter people who are their equals, they like to boast of their achievements. And when they encounter those who are their inferiors or subordinates, they get angry or chastise them. But actually, one should not boast about one's achievements to one's equals. Rather, one should develop friendship. One should not get angry with one's subordinates. Rather, one should give affection. In this way, Prahlad, in the later part of the seventh canto, has given us very good instructions on how we should behave in this world. It is very, very important. Generally, our attention goes to the philosophical aspects of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the scriptures, and we sometimes overlook the important aspect or the role that behavior plays in our spiritual life. Good behavior is the hallmark of a human being. Only from being a human being one can go onwards to become a good devotee. trying to cultivate devotional service artificially without being on the human platform is of course possible by the mercy of the devotees of the Lord, but it is hard to sustain that devotional service. So good behavior, good culture, good lifestyle, good practices, healthy attitudes, good thoughts are the foundation on which devotional service can develop very nicely. Finally, Narad Muni says, Vidyartha, Vidya Artha Rupa Janma Adhyaha. He was endowed with Vidya, that is knowledge, Artha, that means wealth, Rupa, that is beauty, and Janma, that is aristocratic birth. Adhya means he was endowed with these things. But Manastambha Vivarjitaha, that Prahlad was not at all proud and impudent because he had these things. This is very unusual in this world. Kunti Maharani also says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Janmaishwarya Shruti Shribhir Edhamanam Madhapuman Naivarhatya Vidhatum Vaitvam Akinchana Gochara. My dear Krishna, those people in this world who have Janma, that is high birth, Aishwarya, that is wealth, Shruti, that is learning, education, Shri, that is beauty, they cannot approach you with feeling. Because there is certain pride develops in them. Edhamana madha puman. Madha means a kind of an intoxicated state, a kind of a pride. Pride is called madha, which is also intoxication. In other words, in the scriptures, pride has been compared to an intoxicated state. It's an interesting analogy. So when a person is intoxicated, he thinks no end of himself, isn't it? He may think he is the king of the land, or he may proclaim so many things. Similarly, a proud person thinks no end of himself. A proud person also has these delusions of grandeur, thinks of himself as something very great. So if someone has all these things and still doesn't have pride, still is not impudent and arrogant in his behavior, then that quality is very pleasing to the Lord. Yesterday also we were discussing how the Lord was telling Brahma, when Prahlad Maharaj arrived on the scene as Bali Maharaj was being bound, and the Lord explained to Brahma that it's very hard for people not to get proud when they have the opulences of this world. But if there is someone who doesn't get proud of these things when he has them, then such a person draws my favor. So Prahlad had all these things, and yet Manastambha Vivarjitaha, he was not at all adversely affected. This is the greatness of a pure devotee of the Lord. The next verse, 33. Nodvigna chitto vyasaneshu nispriha. Shruteshu drishteshu guneshu vastudrik. Dantendriya prana shariradhi sada. Prashant kamo rahita suro suraha. Srila Prabhupada's translation. Although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he himself was not an asura, but a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Unlike the other asuras, he was never envious of Vaishnavas. He was not agitated when put into danger, and he was neither directly nor indirectly interested in the fruitive activities described in the Vedas. Indeed, he considered everything material to be useless, and therefore he was completely devoid of material desires. He always controlled his senses and life air.
And being of steady intelligence and determination, he subdued all lusty desires. So the main thing to learn from this verse is that birth is not a criterion or a requirement for greatness, especially in spiritual life. Prahlad Maharaj is the best example of this. Srila Prabhupada has explained elsewhere that even a single flower that is very fragrant can make a forest of thorn trees very beautiful and fragrant and attractive. So Prahlad was like that fragrant flower in the midst of the forest of the daityas, of the asuras. But because of one person, Prahlad, the whole dynasty was delivered. Prahlad was the glory of this whole dynasty. On the other hand, Prabhupada explains elsewhere that if there is one tree in a forest that catches fire, the whole forest will burn down. In other words, in a dynasty, if there is any one person who is not qualified or who is mischievous or is a miscreant, then he destroys the whole dynasty. Of course, we have so many examples. Duryodhana, for example. Everybody practically warned him. Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, Vidur, Bhishma, Krishna himself, and many other well-wishers. They warned him that you will be the cause of the destruction of your entire dynasty. So do not be obstinate and accept this very fair peace proposal that Krishna has brought on behalf of the Pandavas. But Duryodhan was so arrogant and impudent that he refused to give the Pandavas even as much land as is there on the head of a pin. And eventually, what to speak of giving land enough for the head of a pin, Duryodhan had to give up his own body, the bodies of all his relatives, his brothers, his supporters, and even he had to lose his entire kingdom. Similarly, Ravana. Ravana was also warned repeatedly by Vibhishan that you will be the cause of your destruction, of your whole family. Surprisingly, even Kumbhakarna at one time had cautioned him before Kumbhakarna got caught up with brotherly loyalty and he decided to fight on behalf of Ravana. Kumbhakarna also chastised Ravana that you never asked me before you went and kidnapped Sita, and now you have kidnapped Sita, you are in trouble and now you are waking me up from my sleep. Because for Kumbhakarna, the worst thing in life was to be woken up from sleep. And he was to sleep for 6 months in a year, and he was woken up barely after a couple of weeks after going to bed. So he was not happy, but anyway, he brought himself to support his brother. But Ravana again was like Duryodhana, obstinate, arrogant, impudent. He did not see reason, and therefore he led his whole kingdom and his dynasty to destruction. So one bad element can ruin everything. One good element can improve everything. Sometimes we see that people lament, oh, everything is bad around me, but I am only one person, what can I do? Recently, somewhere, I happened to meet someone who was an ex-minister. Was a lady. She used to be a minister in the central government in Delhi some years ago, many years ago. And she was completely caught up in the election preparations, phone calls and all kinds of whatever they do when they have to fight for elections. And I was trying to preach to her and I told her that she was anxious that she may not get the ticket to fight the elections from her party. So I said, just see the condition. First of all, there is anxiety of getting a ticket. If you don't get a ticket, you're really sad. If you get a ticket, then you get burdened. You may not win, first of all, the elections. Then you're even more sad. But after getting the ticket, even if you win and you become a minister, then you have to bear 1/6 of the karma of the population of India on your head. And then what kind of suffering are you going to undergo after that? Oh, really? 1/6 of the karma? I said, yes, that's what Ramayana says. But in any case, but since she was already bent upon doing it, there is no point in telling her not to do it. So we're trying to say that, all right, if you're a leader, then at least you should be Krishna conscious. I explained Prahlad's teachings about the blind leading the blind, of how when the leaders are blind, spiritually speaking, then they lead the praja or the subjects into hellish condition of life, the blind leading the blind. And then I said, if you become a devotee of the Lord, then you can change the face of this country. He said, what can I do? I am only one person. But I said, yes. If you see all the changes in history, if you study the history of this world, all the great revolutions, good for good or for bad, whatever great changes have happened in this world, have happened invariably because of one convinced person. One person. Whether you take Mao Zedong in China or Lenin in Russia, or you take other revolutionaries in other places, or you take Gandhi here on this, whether on the material sphere, on the political, social, economic sphere, even on the academic sphere, and especially on the spiritual sphere, one great saintly person, one moon, has lit up the whole world. So Srila Prabhupada is like that one moon who is forever shining. For one moon who doesn't have a phases is always a full moon. And this one full moon is now spreading the cooling moonshine to give us protection against the blazing heat of the fire of material existence. So even if one person is really convinced to become a devotee, he can change everything, regardless of what the situation around is. Prahlad is another example. He was convinced, one person, a child of 5 years old, in the midst of a family of non-devotees, a family of those who are very, very inimical. But that did not stop him from his path, because he was convinced. Srila Prabhupada was, in the early days, and for many of the years of ISKCON, most of the years of ISKCON actually, his followers, his disciples, the devotees, were mostly people from the West. They were not born in families of devotees who were chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Most of the devotees were born in families that were violating all the 4 regulative principles. They were born in highly uncultured backgrounds. So somehow or other, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed these souls in different parts of the world to assist Srila Prabhupada to spread this movement everywhere. So even though these devotees were born in such circumstances, they overcame the limitations of their circumstances to become devotees. So whatever be our environment, we should not become discouraged. Rather, we should know that if we simply do what Prabhupada wants us to do, to try to become a good full moon, then everything else will follow. Then we'll go on to the next verse. Text 34.
Yasmin mahad guna rajam grihyante kavibhir muhu
नते धुना पिधीयन्ते यथा भगवतीश्वरे
ओ किंग प्रह्लाद महाराज इज गुड क्वालिटीज आर स्टिल ग्लोरिफाइड बाय लर्नड सेंट्स एंड वैष्णवस As all good qualities are always found existing in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they also exist forever in his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. So Srila Prabhupada explains the same thing, that a devotee acquires qualities almost the same as those of the Lord because of unalloyed devotional service. The Lord is so captivated by these wonderful qualities of the devotees that sometimes He, in His pastimes in the material world, makes it appear that the devotee can do many wonderful things that he cannot do. For example, Lord Ram, when he had to cross over to Lanka, he had to cross over the ocean. How did he cross over? By building a bridge, right? And how did his devotee Hanuman cross over? He just jumped. So in other words, Hanuman, the devotee of Lord Ram, could do what Lord Ram could not do. Hanuman jumped over, but Lord Ram needed a bridge to cross over. Of course, this is a pastime. We understand that the Supreme Lord is all powerful, all is omnipotent. There's nothing that he cannot do. What's a little stretch of ocean for him? He can easily jump over, no problem. But since he was enacting Manushya Leela, the pastime of a human being, so therefore he stayed within the limitations of human ability. Whereas Hanuman, being empowered by him, could jump more than 800 yojanas or whatever that length was to Lanka, and he came back as well. So Krishna is so pleased with his devotees that he endows them with all wonderful qualities almost like himself. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that there are two kinds of perfected devotees. One are the Samprapta Siddhas, and the other are called the Nitya Siddhas. The Samprapta Siddhas are those who have acquired perfection by sadhana or by mercy in this material world. And then they go and join the Lord in His pastimes in the spiritual world. Whereas the Nitya Siddhas are always there in the spiritual world with the Lord. And then Rupa Goswami explains that these Nitya Siddhas have qualities almost as good as the Lord. They have 55 qualities. Generally we see that the jivas have up to 50 qualities. Krishna has 64 in perfection. Ordinary jivas have 50 qualities, but in very minute quantity. Great personalities like Lord Shiva have up to 55, Lord Narayan up to 60. But even the Nitya Siddhas, even though they may be jivatmas, they have up to 55. So they're very, very empowered by the Supreme Lord with all these wonderful qualities. 35.
Yam sadhu gatha sadasi Ripavo pi sura nripa Pratimanam prakurvanti Kimutanye bhavadrishah.
In any assembly where there are discourses about saints and devotees, O King Yudhishthir, even the enemies of the demons, namely the demigods, what to speak of you,
would cite Prahlad Maharaj as an example of a great devotee. So, what a privilege, right? Imagine, even the enemies glorify. Because Prahlad was born in the family of Asuras, the demons, and traditionally the demons are the enemies of the demigods. So one would think that in the assemblies of the demigods and the sages, they would not glorify someone born in a demoniac family. But here, in the case of Prahlad, even in the assemblies of the demigods and the higher planets, when the sages and demigods got together to discuss things, they would glorify Prahlad Maharaj because he was such a great devotee of the Lord. This is a genuine tribute. When your opponents and adversaries acknowledge your greatness, then we can understand that you are truly great. If your followers and those who are dependent on you glorify you, then that's nothing really substantial. But if those who are adversarial or opponents glorify, then that is true tribute. So here we see Prahlad being glorified by his traditional enemies, the demigods. Text 36.
Gunairalam asankhyai Mahatmyam tasya suyate Mahatmyam tasya suchyate Vasudeve Bhagavati Yasya Naisargiki Ratihi.
Please chant this. Someone?
Gunairalam asankhyeyair Mahatmyam tasya suchyate Vasudeve Bhagavati Yasya Naisargiki Ratihi.
Srila Prabhupada's translation. Who could list the innumerable transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj? He had unflinching faith in Vasudev, Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudev, and unalloyed devotion to him. His attachment to Krishna was natural because of his previous devotional service. Although his good qualities cannot be enumerated, they prove that he was a great soul, Mahatma. So, Narad Muni is saying that the qualities of Prahlad are innumerable. And in fact, they cannot be counted. And whatever I speak to glorify Prahlad Maharaj will just be so many combinations of words because it will be futile. It's not possible to sufficiently, to adequately glorify this great devotee, Prahlad. Because he has unflinching faith in Lord Vasudev or Lord Krishna. And he is a pure devotee. And what is the nature of his attachment to Lord Vasudev or Krishna? Yasya naisargiki ratihi. The word rati implies bhava. Srila Rupa Goswami has described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that pure devotional service can be divided into three stages. The first stage is called sadhana bhakti. It is a stage of practice. We are not perfected yet. Practice makes perfect. But we are still in the stage of practice. So we are called sadhakas. One who does sadhana is a sadhaka. One who is still in the stage of practicing but has not yet reached perfection is called a sadhaka.
performing sadhan bhakti. Then there is bhava bhakti, where ecstatic symptoms are developed. One develops intense attachment for the Lord, and that's called rati. And then finally, there is prema bhakti, which is pure love of Godhead, which is the fruit, the prayojan, the ultimate goal of all devotional service, that pure love of God. So that is called the sadhya, the goal. The sadhan is performed to get the sadhya. The means are meant to attain the end. The end is pure devotional service, pure love of God. So the stage of bhava is not quite the stage of sadhana bhakti. It's beyond. At the same time, it is not yet also quite the stage of Krishna prem. It's in between. It is neither sadhana nor sadhya. It's just the preparatory stage, the budding stage of Krishna prem. So this symptom is being described here, the stage of rati or bhava. And then in the next few verses, Prahlad Maharaj's ecstatic symptoms are going to be described. So one can understand how exalted Prahlad was. At the same time, we should not think that Prahlad was only on the platform of bhava. Because even one who is on the platform of prema also has the qualities of the lower stages. In as much as a student in the 10th grade also knows the mathematics of the 5th grade. So that knowledge comes automatically to him. In the same way, the qualities of the bhava stage come automatically in the pure devotee who is on the stage of prema bhakti, in the stage of sadhya. He is a siddha. He is on the stage of perfection. So Prahlad Maharaj's bhava or his attraction for the Lord, what was it? It was naisargiki. Naisargiki means it was natural, spontaneous. Prahlad was helplessly attracted to the Lord. When the teachers of Prahlad, Shanda and Amarka, tried to rebuke and chastise Prahlad, and they tried to understand from him where he had learned this idea of Vishnu Bhakti, when Shanda and Amarka had never even mentioned such a thing ever in their classes, nobody in the demoniac families had ever been speaking about such a thing. So where did he learn it from? And he should stop such bhakti. So Prahlad Maharaj had replied that, "My dear teachers, I cannot help it. Just as a magnet or just as iron filings are automatically attracted to magnets, similarly my heart or my consciousness is automatically drawn towards the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. I am not doing it deliberately, it's just a natural attraction." So Prahlad expressed his helplessness. He says, "I am just helplessly attracted to Krishna." That was his stage. So the example of the iron filings and the magnet is nice. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kunti Maharani gives the example of the river flowing towards the sea. When a river flows down the mountains, somehow or the other, despite there being so many obstacles in the way, the river will go around obstacles like hills and so on, and somehow or the other reach the sea at some point. Because the natural flow of the river is towards the sea. Similarly, for the pure soul, the natural flow of our emotion is towards the Lord. But when that flow is obstructed very greatly, then the flow of that river gets lost somewhere here and there. And then we get diverted into the material realm, and our attraction for this world seems to be natural. But actually that is unnatural. Natural attraction means attraction for Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. And the process of bhakti is a process of cleansing, where all the rust from the iron filings are being shaved off or removed. So when the rust is removed, now the iron filings can become nicely attracted to the magnet. If you have rusted iron, then the magnet will not be able to attract it.
So similarly, the anarthas that we have in our heart because of long years of association with the material energy is like rust. And that has to be cleansed. And the holy chanting of the holy names and the other processes of devotional service cleans the heart, cheto darpana marjanam. So Prahlad Maharaj's devotion, his natural attraction to the Lord, is something that is spontaneous. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu again, Rupa Goswami explains that there are different ways by which this bhava bhakti can arise in the heart of an individual in this world. One is by doing sadhana. By dint of sadhana, then one gradually progresses and eventually becomes a pure devotee. Of course, even there one needs the mercy. But nevertheless, one has to perform a lot of sadhana, a lot of austerities to try to please the Lord. And the other is the path of mercy. When one obtains the mercy of Krishna or his devotees, one may not have done any sadhana. But because Krishna's mercy is obtained, either by his words, that's called Vachika Kripa, like it was for Narad Muni, or it could be by giving his darshan, his audience to other devotees, that's called Darshana Dan Kripa, and the third is called Hard Kripa, where the Lord wishes well for the devotee, or the Lord's devotee wishes well for that person, and automatically from within the heart, bhava develops. And Prahlad is given as an example of that. Simply because of Narad Muni's good wishes, because Narad Muni really willed, Narad Muni wanted to bestow his mercy upon Prahlad. So by Narad Muni's mercy and good wishes, automatically, spontaneously, that bhava arose in the heart of young Prahlad, who was still in his mother's womb. Naisargiki comes from the word nisarga. In Sanskrit, the word nisarga has several meanings, but two of the meanings of the word nisarga are, one is a gift or to give, and the second is svabhava, nature. So in Prahlad's case, we can understand this naisargiki rati is both a gift of mercy of Narad Muni to him, and at the same time, it's coming naturally, spontaneously from within the heart. So it's natural, it's part of his svabhava, it's part of his nature to be like that. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is exhibiting this naisargiki ratihi. And as a result of that, what happens is explained by Narad Muni in the next verse. I will take another 5 or 10 minutes. We're almost there. Is it okay for another 5 minutes or 10 minutes? So that we can finish this section of verses, I will try to be a little quick. Text 37.
Nyastakridanako balo Jadavatan manastaya Krishna grahagrihitatma Naveda jagat idrisham.
From the very beginning of his childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playthings. Indeed, he gave them up altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on, being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. There is a verse elsewhere, and the proof of that is outside here. Balyastavat kridasaktaha
that in childhood one is naturally attracted and attached to play. Balyasthavat krida sakta, tarunasthavat taruni sakta, vriddhosthavat chinta sakta, parepi brahmani kopi na sakta. In childhood one is attached to playing. A young boy in youth is attached to a young girl. In old age one is attached to worrying, chinta. So who is worried about obtaining the absolute truth? So life goes like this. Childhood goes in play. Youth goes in trying to obtain the pleasures of this world. And old age goes away in worrying. So where is the time for trying to get the absolute truth, for trying to understand God? So the point is that in childhood it is natural to play, but Prahlad didn't have this habit. He was not frivolous and restless like other children of his age. Rather he was quite sober, jadavat, as if dull. But doesn't mean he was dull. He was very intelligent. Internally he was very, very much on the high platform. But it appeared externally that he was dull. He had no interest in playing like his friends were. And because his strong attraction to Krishna made him thoroughly unaware of how the world was functioning. Sometimes amongst devotees, we joke, if somebody doesn't know how to handle himself in this world, we say he's transcendental. Just jokingly we say that he's too transcendental. But Prahlad was genuinely transcendental. He had no connection to the external world. He didn't know how the world was going on, what was happening around him. And Prahlad was completely situated like that. And why was Prahlad like that? Krishna graha grihitatma. Because he was influenced by Krishna graha, by the planet of Krishna. This is not to be taken literally, but the analogy is astrological. Many times, even amongst devotees, devotees get anxious. Many times are people coming to warn me, oh, this planet is there, you be careful. Or such and such planet is in your horoscope. And even devotees get sometimes carried away too much by these things. By this planet, by Saturn, or in that such and such constellation, or such and such portion of my chart, or Rahu or Ketu. And because of such influence of a malefic planet like this, then we have to undergo so much suffering. So anyway, Prahlad had nothing to do with Rahus and Ketus and Saturns and Mars. He had connection only with one planet, that was the Supreme Lord Krishna, the Krishna planet. So Krishna was like that planet who was influencing Prahlad. And Prahlad was under the influence of nobody else. In this way, Prahlad's natural attraction is being described here. Then we won't chant the verses, just the translation, 38. Prahlad Maharaj was always absorbed in thought of Krishna. Thus, being always embraced by the Lord, he did not know how his bodily necessities, such as sitting, walking, eating, lying down, drinking and talking, were being automatically performed. Just see, his absorption in Krishna was so great. He didn't know what to speak of the world. He didn't even know how his body was functioning. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport the very appropriate example of a baby in the lap of a mother. The child is completely dependent on the mother. The child doesn't know how he eats. The child eats, drinks, evacuates everything on the lap of the mother and is completely unaware of how these things are going on. But the child is completely satisfied in the shelter of the mother's lap. He's not concerned about anything. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, living under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, didn't even understand how his bodily processes and how the world around him was going on. He was completely on a different platform, in a different plane of existence.
This is the level of Krishna consciousness of Krishna, of Prahlad Maharaj. So he was in his mind embraced by Krishna. The next verse. Because of advancement in Krishna consciousness, he sometimes cried, sometimes laughed, sometimes expressed jubilation, and sometimes sang loudly. These are all symptoms of bhava. Of course, one cannot try to artificially imitate these things. Sometimes we do have people who try to imitate and it causes a disturbance. True bhava is something very, very rare indeed. One of the six qualities or six characteristics of bhakti is sudurlabha, that it is very rare. Of these six qualities, the first two are manifested in the stage of sadhana bhakti. At bhava, the next two develop, and the first two are always, of course, already present. And in prema bhakti, the next two further come up. So in prema bhakti, you have all the six qualities or characteristics of bhakti. And one of the qualities that comes at the stage of bhava is sudurlabha. That this bhakti is very rare. It is not even possible to obtain this bhava by performing huge quantities of bhakti. If that bhakti is performed without attachment, and even if bhakti is performed with attachment, Krishna is reluctant to give bhava very easily, because by bhava Krishna is purchased. So Krishna may sell other things. He may sell the material world, he may give liberation, he may give kingdoms, he may give enjoyment. But when it comes to giving himself, he pauses. He presses the pause button. So it's not something easily obtained. So here we see symptoms of this bhava. The Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto also explains, the nine yogendras say, evam vratah svapriyanam kirtya jatanurago drutachitta uchaihi hasatyato rauti rauditi gayati unmadavan rityati lokabahyaha. The yogendras explain, a person in the stage of bhava is very, very attached to chanting the holy names of the Lord, is very much attached to the service of the Lord. Anuragaha, which means deep attachment. And in this attachment, he sometimes chants, sometimes dances, sometimes laughs. And nobody, no other person can understand why he is laughing. Unmadavan rityati lokabahyaha, like a madman. And the world outside considers him a madman, but this person doesn't care for the world. Lokabahyaha, he is not concerned about the opinion of the world. So similarly, Prahlad was not concerned of what the world thought of him. He was simply absorbed in his own transcendental emotions. Next verse. Sometimes upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj would loudly call in full anxiety. He sometimes lost his shyness in jubilation and began dancing in ecstasy. And sometimes, being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that sometimes when a child is with the mother, is quite satisfied and peaceful. Sometimes the mother keeps the child down and goes away to perform some errands. At that time, the child may become sorrowful or fearful. There is a form of Narsingadev which I only came to know a few days ago. It's called Bidal Narsingha. Bidal means in Sanskrit cat. Narsingha, Lord Narsingha took the form of a cat and a lion. Like Narsingha is half human and half lion, so Bidal Narsingha is half cat and half lion. So the Lord has appeared in these wonderful forms.
So to remind us, sometimes he sends all these animals to make us mention these little things. So here it is mentioned that Prahlad would call out in anxiety just like a child. When the mother leaves the child and goes away, then the child cries out in anxiety. Hearing the cries of the child, the mother rushes back. Seeing the mother coming, the child's face lights up in jubilation and the child laughs happily. So similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, when he did not see the Lord, he would cry in separation. And when the Lord would say, "Yes, I'm coming," just like the mother tells the child, I'm coming," and the child is somewhat pacified to hear the voice of the mother. Similarly, the Lord would say, "I'm coming," and then he would get a little relieved. And when he actually saw Krishna approaching, then he would be jubilant. And he would laugh, then he would dance. Of course, it was only Prahlad who would see Krishna. Others couldn't see Krishna, so they would have wondered what Prahlad is up to. Why he suddenly laughs and suddenly dances, suddenly chants. In this way, Prahlad Maharaj attracted the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We also call out to Krishna for various things. And Krishna tells, I'm coming," but we get impatient. Why isn't Krishna coming? I've asked for this desire, it's not getting fulfilled. Prabhupada used to tell the story of a man who was deaf. And he called out to his wife. And the wife said, I'm coming." But because he was deaf, he couldn't hear the wife speaking that, I'm coming." So the wife took a little time to come. So when the wife came, the deaf man told the wife, "Are you deaf? Don't you hear what I'm saying? I was calling you." The wife was not deaf. The man was deaf. He couldn't hear the voice of his wife. It was not the wife's fault. It was this man's fault. So similarly, we are calling out to Krishna, please come, help us. We have so many needs, we have these desires. And Krishna is saying, I'm coming, but I want you to be more sincere. And we get impatient. Why is Krishna not coming? Why is he taking so much time? Is Krishna not hearing our prayers? Yes, certainly, Krishna is hearing our prayers. But Krishna wants that helpless call of the child. He doesn't simply want a formal call, a call of formality. One time I had heard a story from Vaishnava Prabhu that there was a child who was sleeping on the bed, and the child fell off the bed and started yelling and crying. And the mother came rushing and picked up the child, and to pacify the child, gave the child a sweet. So the child was pacified and became quiet. After eating the sweet, which was very delicious, the child used his intelligence. "This sweet is really nice, and I got it because I cried. So let me cry again and I'll get one more sweet." So again the child started crying. This time the mother didn't come. And he cried even harder and harder. The mother wouldn't come. Finally the mother came. The child was very angry. "Why did you come so late? I was crying for you. So last time I came, I cried. You gave me a sweet. This time you're not giving me anything." So the child replied, or the mother replied, that last time you cried for me, so I came. This time you cried for the sweet, so I didn't come. You were not calling for me, you were not crying for me. Similarly, Prabhupada says we should cry for Krishna. Our chanting should be like a cry of the child crying out to the mother. But if in our chanting we are saying, "Dhanam Dehi Rupam Dehi," saying, "Oh Lord, give me money, give me this, give me that," then we are chanting the holy name, we are calling out to the Lord, but actually we are not calling out to the Lord. We want the sweet. So Prahlad is teaching us by his example that we should call out to the Lord only in the mood of devotion and helplessness, as Prahlad, as Srila Prabhupada is also saying. Next verse. Sometimes feeling the touch of the Lord's lotus hands, he became spiritually jubilant and remained silent. His hairs standing on end and tears gliding down from his half-closed eyes because of his love for the Lord. Again, symptoms of bhava, and even more, feeling separation from the Lord. So imagine the exalted nature of Prahlad. He was actually feeling the Lord's hand on his head, and immediately he was pacified. And these symptoms are being described here by Narad Muni. And finally, the last verse. Because of his association with perfect unalloyed devotees who had nothing to do with anything material, Prahlad Maharaj constantly engaged in the service of the Lord's lotus feet. By seeing his bodily features when he was in perfect ecstasy, persons very poor in spiritual understanding became purified. In other words, Prahlad Maharaj bestowed upon them transcendental bliss. The very name Prahlad means Prakrishta Rupena Ahlad. Ahlad means spiritual bliss. Hladini Shakti, the bliss-giving Shakti, that is Hladini. It comes from the word Ahlad. So Prahlad. So one who is experiencing divine bliss. So not only was Prahlad actually living up to his name and experiencing the divine bliss for himself, but he was also making others experience this divine bliss. And that is Prahlad's mood. That it's not that we simply want to enjoy the Supreme Lord. It's not that we simply want to enjoy Vrindavan Dham. It's not that we simply want to enjoy our chanting, our darshan, and so on. We have to spread and share this enjoyment with others. This movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also the movement of Prahlad Maharaj. It's a preaching movement. It's a movement where we practice and preach. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Are there any questions? One or two only. Okay, so it's late, so we'll stop. Yes, one question. Mic, please. Please make the question brief.
Thank you for class. My question is referred to one verse here, which is stated, he was in control of his senses, always in control of his senses, and in control of his life air. So maybe you can elaborate on this verse, especially with the second part, in control of his life air.
Yes, from the science of yoga we can understand that there are life airs in the body which are called prana. These are subtle airs, it's not the gross air that we breathe in. And an imbalance of these prana vayus, there are five main pranas and five sub pranas. When there is a balance of all these pranas, then everything goes well in the body. The atma is also floating in the prana. And the mystic yogis, the ashtanga yogis, by the process of asana and pranayama and the other processes, they try to control the prana, and eventually with the prana they manipulate the soul to move it up and then leave through the brahmarandhra, the hole in the skull. So the point is that mystic yogis control the prana in that way, subtle airs. Prahlad Maharaj, being a great exalted devotee of the Lord, was also perfectly in control not only of his gross senses but also his subtle senses, which includes the prana. Like Dhruva Maharaj, when he was performing his austerities, he also pulled the subtle airs within himself. So Prahlad Maharaj had also controlled his subtle airs from within. Any other question? one line. Yes, mic please.
Prabhuji, in this 36th shloka, in translation it is written, his attachment to Lord Krishna was natural because of his previous devotional service. Can you please explain it?
Because of his previous devotional service, yes. This is the time when he was 5 years old, and even in this life, his devotional service began in the womb. Narad Muni was his spiritual master. He heard the Srimad Bhagavatam for a long time, and therefore he got that bhava by the mercy of Narad Muni, as Rupa Goswami has explained. And there are other Puranic narrations, of course, that talk about how Prahlad in the previous life performed some devotional service and fasting on Narsingha Chaturdashi, and he got the benefit, and so on and so forth. So in any case, yes, that is his previous devotional service that he performed. Srila Prabhupada explains in one of the purports in the 7th canto that Prahlad Maharaj is a mixed Siddha. Mixed Siddha means partly because of his own sadhana and mercy of Narad Muni, he has become a pure devotee, and partly also because he is a Vaikuntha man. So that is how Prabhupada explains. So thank you very much. We will stop here. Tomorrow is Narsingha Chaturdashi, fasting till dusk. And tomorrow let us prepare our minds tonight for remembering Lord Narsingadev and Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Sri Narsingadev Bhagavan ki jai, Sri Narsingha Chaturdashi Mahotsav ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande.
Mata prana dhana gara hari.